huh?
Or we went and saw Yacht 11. Usual 11. We started talking last week. The title was God's Ideal Woman. And we read Proverbs 31, and I think it was the whole chapter of, what, Proverbs 5, I think it was, that talked about the loose woman. And that's for married men. Y'all know where the loose women are when you get around them, right? They are not for y'all. Just like the kids, they know at school and all that. And that's going to be part two this morning, titled God's Ideal Woman. I wanted to say something maybe that you hadn't thought about, or maybe you have, I don't know. But everybody in this room, regardless of your age, you're either a king, like Monty or Johnny, which would be an over what we call an adult man, 18 and over, you are a king, whether you're a husband or not. And all of you that are not yet that age, you're princes. I didn't say princess, I said princes. Gotta specify that today. But anyway, just like Aubrey and Chloe and the young ladies in here, you're actually princesses, but you're in the making to be a queen. And everybody should know how they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to do in their role. I wrote this down this morning. Let me read this right quick before we get started. With all authority comes great responsibility. You cannot have authority without having responsibility. And sad to say, that's a lot of times what our kings has tried to do. Y'all ain't saying nothing already. I've heard men before, they say, well, my wife does all the praying. That's not a good thing. Your wife is not supposed to be the leader of that household. Now, she's supposed to do her praying and get whatever she gets from the Lord to give to whatever. But how many knows the man is the one that is responsible for this entire home? So therefore, he should be praying and find it out and getting direction for this family, right? And even if you're not married and you become a king, you still need to be praying and seeking God of what is your life supposed to be? What are you supposed to do, you know? Are you supposed to get married? There's some people that, like the Apostle Paul, he said he wasn't married. He said, I wish all y'all would stay as I am. He said, because if you get married, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. Why? The two become one. Now you have the father or the husband, which is the king. Then you have the queen. And then later on, you have the children, right? So with the authority, just like this. You have authority over your children. Right? God-given authority. Well, with that God-given authority comes great responsibility. For an example, say you see a kid at Walmart, and this has happened, and it's actually what I thought. So you see a kid at Walmart, they got their pajamas on, it's cold outside, they got no shoes on, and their hair's all nappy. Looks like Granny used to say, the rat slept in your hair. And who do you look at? Why? Because they are the authority, which makes them the one responsible over what that kid does, how that kid looks, right? What it has, what it doesn't have. It's the same way with the mothers, and it's the same way with the fathers or the husbands. Now, put my glasses on, make sure I read this right. I wrote this down. The more authority, the greater the responsibility. So, how many knows that in the home, the husband has the greatest authority. Under Christ, everybody has a head except God. Reason why God doesn't is he's number one. He created all. Right? The Bible says that God is the head over Christ. And Christ is the head over man. And man is the head over the woman and then the children. And I wrote, the more authority, the greater your responsibility is going to be. The one with the more authority must exercise the greater restraint of themselves, because they are the pattern that everyone else is supposed to follow. If you want your kids to behave, y'all can't be going crazy. I can't be in the store screaming, shut up! Or slapping my kids around or whatever. Listen, we are reaping the results right now and have been for years, but you see it full blown today of the breakdown of the family. Whose fault is that? Father number one. Why? He has the greatest responsibility. And sad to say, a lot of kings have not taken their place. They've runned off. Y'all not saying nothing? They runned off. They don't want the responsibility. See, just because you're a Christian don't mean you do everything you're supposed to. You can get born again and not do one thing else after what Jesus tells you to do, right? And you stay where you are. Now, you're going to be held accountable for it. Whenever, Beth, put up Genesis 3, please, 7 through 9. If you don't have your Bible or the Amplified, she's going to put it on the screen. If the computer ain't crashing, it's not been crashing this morning, I reckon. Now, this was where the serpent came. God had told Adam. Eve wasn't even made yet when God told Adam, don't eat of this tree, right? He done made the animals. Adam done named them, everything. And then you go on down here, and the serpent has come, and they ate of the fruit. We're going to pick it up in verse 7. It says, and the eyes of them both were open, talking about Adam and Eve, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto who? Who? There was two of them there. Eve was there, right? She's hiding herself just as... Why did God say, Adam, where are you? Because he is the responsible party. If Adam had have done his job like he was supposed to, like God told him to, we would not be in this mess today. But if we had been there, we would have done the exact same thing. So, the reason why God calls Adam is because Adam was the one that had the responsibility for them not to eat that tree. Listen to, let me say this as easy, I'm a woman. We're going to get into some stuff. And if I've ever told you contrary advice to what I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm sorry. I did not know. How many knows? Just because I'm the teacher don't mean I know everything. I'm growing in progression of knowledge, progression of revelation, just like we're all supposed to be, right? But the world might would say it this way, you got your woman in tow. Y'all ever heard that? Don't ever say that, man. April's like, I ain't never heard it and I ain't going to. But now you take it over here on the godly side. How many knows that's supposed to be? Thank you, Monty. Nobody else said a word. That is supposed to be. Not that you got your woman in tow. The reason why God called Adam and said, where are you, is because he was the responsible party. Can you see if Adam was doing his job like he should have been, loving his wife, right? Protecting his wife, right? The serpent, he ain't playing. Protecting his wife and telling her, we don't talk to serpents. Do you realize how all of this could have been avoided? But a lot of times what we have today is what the world calls masculine women and feminine men. And listen, you can have feminine qualities, a man can, soft-spoken or whatever, and be very masculine. You can be a strong woman. Monty, you don't agree with that? I have one of the best brother-in-laws you will ever meet. That man is the most feminine. Talking, sounding, mannerisms. I mean, the way he does is moves his hands and stuff. Really, if you didn't know him, you would really think he was gay, wouldn't you, Mama? I mean, for real. Because he is the sweetest, do anything for you. How many knows a masculine man should be the most gentle man? I didn't say feminine. I said gentle. Why? Because we are supposed to be getting the way we're supposed to be from you guys, not from Christ. So you should have your... The wife should be submitting to the husband, and the husband should have authority over his wife, and we have to submit ourselves to his leadership, to his protection. Just like this, you have authority over your children. It's your job to protect your children. Why do you tell your children don't go out there and play in the street? Because you love them and you're the protector over them, right? You know what could possibly happen to them if they go play in the street. So you have that love for them and it's your job to protect them and you have the authority over them to tell them. So when they don't, then you have to bring some correction or discipline. How many know sometimes the husband has to bring correction or discipline? And see, everything on the inside of me wants to bucket that to no end. Because, see, all my life, that's not the way I have been. I have not been soft. I have not been gentle. I have not been easy to be corrected. But I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm going to become God's ideal woman, just like all of us ladies in here, right? You guys are going to become God's ideal kings, right? So we can get this mess in the family straightened out. Because do you realize if Satan can get the family, he gets the whole world. God created the family. And he set it in an order. God is not the God of chaos, and that is the only reason why he set it up this way, is because he is a God of order, and everything has to be in its order, or you come out from authority, you come out from under protection. Right? So he called out to Adam there. He didn't call out to Eve. But then they both paid the price for what they had both done. Gosh, I need to quit closing this, I guess. I forgot my glasses this morning. Which I still take them on and off, don't I, when they're mine. Let's look at, I can't breathe with these things on. I don't know what that's got to do with it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. We read this last week, but I want to read it again. When God started speaking this to me, he started with, he said, I need you to be more feminine. And I told y'all last week, I did not know what that meant. My carnal mind starts thinking makeup and dresses. I mean, I wear a little makeup. I don't like that gobbledygook all over my face. I mean, I just don't like it. So, I mean, I don't wear a lot of makeup or anything. Rarely do I wear dresses. I mean, it's kind of hard to play the drums when you get on a dress, unless it's down to your ankles, and I really don't. But I thought my carnal mind, that's what it went to, started thinking like that. But I've come to learn, and God has been showing me and teaching. No, that's not what I'm talking about. How many knows a man can put on a dress and it don't make him feminine? We're going to get to some scripture that talks about it's inside the heart is where the femininity actually comes from. It's not something that you wear. Because, see, a man putting on a dress, we got this problem today, ain't going to make you no woman. I can identify as a pickle all I want to and go get in a pickle jar, and I'm not going to be a pickle. Listen to me. This is absolutely demonic activity causing mental illness. You better hear what I'm telling you. It's all through the Bible. You can go and read it. And he says in the last days, this is what's going to be. And I'm not going to play along with your mental illness. Not talking about you. I'm talking about the world's way. Why? The Bible says we're not supposed to love the world. If the world loves us, we're in trouble. Right? And if we love the world, we're in trouble. So here in 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to start reading in verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, pattern yourselves after who? Paul is saying, pattern yourself after me. Well, I thought we're supposed to pattern after Christ. We are, but there's sometimes people and things that are over us we're supposed to pattern after, right? Or he wouldn't say it. But he says, pattern yourselves after me, follow my example. As I imitate and follow Christ, the Messiah. This is for the kings. This is your part. Why? You are the head of the family. So the wife and the children follow after your leadership, your example, right? Golly bum. Let's say that again. Does not the wife and the children follow after the example of the king, the father, the husband? Right. Paul said, here, pattern after me or follow me as I follow Christ. So what's that mean? That means you got to be temperate, guys. You got to be in control of yourself, number one. Right? Why? Because ain't no need in you trying to spew out all this authority and tell everybody else what to do, because it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. Right? Women have a real problem with that, guys. When you don't. I know I'm a woman. Now, does that change my role? Absolutely not. I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. He goes on, he says, I appreciate and commend you because you always remember me in everything and keep firm possession of the traditions, the substance of my instructions, just as I have verbally passed them on to you. But I want you to know and realize that Christ is the head of every man. So, even though you can't see him with your natural eye, every man or every husband has a head, right? So what's that mean? It means you don't even do what you maybe want to do. You got to do what he says to do, right? He goes on here. And he says, the head of a man is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Any man who prays or prophesies, teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, and comforts with his head covered, dishonors his head, Christ. And any woman who publicly, notice this, publicly prays or prophesies, teaches, refutes, reproves, admonishes, or comforts, when she is bareheaded, dishonors her head, her husband, it is the same as if her head were shaved. That does away right there with that scripture over there that says a woman's supposed to be silent in the church. How can she be publicly praying, prophesying, teaching, refuting, instructing, if she's supposed to be quiet? Cannot. Oops, sorry. Oh, my goodness. It says, for if a woman will not wear a head covering, and we don't do this today, that's not what I wanted you to say. It's the other parts. It says, then she should cut off her hair too. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to have her head shorn or shaven, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image and reflected glory of God. So, kings, princes, what you do is God puts out glory and you reflect it, right? Let's see what the woman does. It goes on down here. It says, oh, where'd I get to? Oh, my page changed. That's the problem. That fan changed my page. It says, for a man ought not to wear anything on his head in church, for he is the image and reflected glory of God. His function of government, that means his authority, his rulership, reflects the majesty of the divine rule. But woman is the expression of man's glory, majesty, and preeminence. That's why I said a while ago, guys, you got to be self-controlled. You got to be all God that's called in you to be. Why? Because we're supposed to see your glory and then we're supposed to reflect it out, just like you see Christ's glory and you reflect it out, right? Then he goes on and he says, verse 8, for man was not created from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created on account of or for the benefit of woman, but woman on account of and for the benefit of man. This is a big thing today with a lot of, y'all ever heard the term feminist? You would think that would actually be something for women, wouldn't you? It's not. I've had to go and look up a bunch of these words because a lot of the way people are talking, I don't have a clue what you're saying. You might as well be speaking Spanish. Do you know what a misogynist is? Do you know what a feminist is? Johnny, you are no longer just a man, according to the world. You're what they call a cis, C-I-S, man. What that means is you are a born biological male that is straight heterosexual. They used to just be a man. Not now. Now they say you're a cis man. You can't just be a real man. I'm serious. I've had to go look this stuff up because when I hear it, I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. Well, actually, a feminist is totally against women and get women's rights. They want to be equal with a man or you have no need of a man. How many knows that's not right? That's not biblical. We just got through reading here that the man was not created for the woman. So we got to stay. I don't care how jacked up your lives are or how jacked up the world is or what my marriage looks like or my family looks like. Our job is to conform it to this word, right? Regardless of what we think is working for us or not working. That's one of the reasons why we're in a big mess that we are today. But it says that woman was created for man. Well, you got a lot of parents today, they'll tell their daughters, baby, you go to get you a good education, you figure out what you want to do, you be a doctor or a lawyer or something other that's going to bring you a lot of money, so you have no need of a man. Don't ever tell your daughters that. Why? Because that is that what I'm talking about, that feminist movement. We don't need a man. When the Bible, we're going to get into scripture that says we're not independent of the man, but we are dependent on the man. And see, for a lot of women, that right there just irks you. But not when you come to realize that when you're right in this, you're protected. Your husband protects you. Your God protects you. Your family is protected from the devil, not just outside people and things, but from the devil. But any place we're not under God's authority, then we're just wide open for the devil in whatever area that is. So we are not, ladies, independent of the man. We're dependent on him. I can feel that went over real well. That's all right. We're going to get it. My page keeps turning. You go on down, and it says, verse 10, therefore she should, let me read 9 again, neither was man created on account of or for the benefit of the woman, but the woman on account of and for the benefit of the man. And it's not because he's dumb. A lot of ladies like to think that. Therefore she should be subject to his authority and should have a covering on her head as a token, a symbol of her submission to authority, that she may show reverence as due the angels and not displease them. Nevertheless, in the plan of the Lord and from his point of view, woman is not apart from and independent of man. It says, nor is man aloof from and independent of woman. Why? God made us together. We're supposed to be together. That's why whenever you become a king or a queen and you get married, the Bible says the two become one. Right? Now let's look at Colossians 3, I think. And I'm not picking out just one place. We're going to go to another place. This stuff is all over the Bible. Let me tell you something, ladies. And let me tell you something, guys. Don't ever use what I'm saying, the woman's part, against the woman, ever. Whether she does it or whether she don't. Ladies, don't ever use the guy's job against them. Telling them, well, you're supposed to be dead. That's not your job. I guarantee you, if you do your job and your part to the full of what God says, you don't even got time to be working on nobody else. So don't ever do it. One of the reasons is, and this is not something that I have been very good at, but I'm getting better. I'm learning. I'm growing. Is you must be vulnerable. See, I don't like that. And I have come to realize this. What you laughing at, Dee? One of the things that I have come to realize that God has been revealing to me, one of the reasons, not the all the reasons, but one of the reasons why I have been so hard is because I have been so hurt. And I have been so rejected. And see, when you get hurt, and you get hurt, and you get hurt. Y'all remember Joyce Meyer's testimony, right? Do y'all remember what she said? I vowed nobody will ever hurt me again. So what do? You become very hard. You become very hard, and you keep people out here because if they out here, they can't hurt you in here. It's getting real quiet. So for me, a lot of that, for me, God has showed me that's why I've done that. But the thing about it is you only have one heart. And if I want to go deeper and learn more how to love with the love of God, I must become vulnerable. God, y'all ain't saying nothing. When a husband and a wife has an argument and the husband says he's sorry, which in some cases don't ever happen or rare, and how many knows it should. And he says, I'm sorry. Don't do this. Don't ask me how I know. Just don't do it. Well, of course you are. I'm telling you right now, it's for you every time. See, I was just trying to do this and this and this and make your point, ladies. Guess what happens next, usually? Another argument, and here you go in this circle all over again. So if he or she ever says that they're sorry or whatever, forget it. What's the Bible say? Let it drop. See, I can let it drop with you, Dee, but it's real hard for me to let it drop with Scotty. Y'all not saying nothing. Where Scotty should be the first one that I could let it drop with. Right? But when you build up walls and you keep people out and you got this pride. God told me the other day, man, Scotty, God started speaking to me about this. And sure enough, I start trying to put it in practice. I meditate on it. I find scriptures about it. I've got probably 8 pages of scribbled out notes front and back pages of this stuff, you know, and I've been meditating on it ever since then, and every couple of days I'll go in there and I'll study on it and things, and so I actually start trying to put it into practice. Well, just a couple of days after I started doing all that, me and Scotty had an argument, and sure enough, we'll go to bed, you know, and all that, and get up the next day. And usually after, I usually go to bed later than Scotty. So after Scotty goes to bed, that's when I do my griping and my complaining, praying to God about the situation. And you know what the Lord told me? I know you don't, but I don't know why I say that. But anyway, this is what he told me. Because I'm like, God, I don't understand. I just want to enjoy my husband. I just want to have a good marriage. I just want peace. Listen, when you get my age, that's about all you care about. Because you have fought and knocked until you are just absolutely tired of all that. And this is what he told me. Now, God talks to you the way you usually talk, so I usually get it pretty rough from him. He said, it is your dogged, that's the word he used, dogged determination, Teresa. That's exactly what he said. And I'm like, See, women don't like it when you tell them the truth. Y'all men, we can tell y'all the truth all day long, Johnny. Point. Let me show you one example. Does this dress make me look fat? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about if April said that to you, Monty, what you gonna say? Come on, spit it out, quick. See what I'm talking about? Now, you can say that in a nice way. Well, you know, maybe it's not quite complimenting of your hips. You know, or maybe that color just don't really go well with your eyes or something, you know. But most of the time, we don't tell women the truth. Why? Women, a lot of them, they can't take the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. So we have to get real good at hearing the truth. Because, see, it's only the truth of God's word that's going to set us free. I don't know how we got into all that about the dress making me look fat, but anyway. Oh, yeah, I know now. I just remembered something. Don't put them glasses on so I can breathe a minute. I was talking about being vulnerable. Because see, what you have to do is you have to receive the love of God and then you let it flow out. And you're supposed to reciprocate, right? But when you build up walls, you can't be vulnerable enough. Why? Number one, you don't want to get hurt. Nobody likes that. But here knows, you can't be putting up walls, because if you put up walls, then love can't get in either. So then if you're not careful, you just get in this cycle and pride gets involved. And then you got to put this one down and that one's got to put this one down. And then you just go in this endless cycle all the time, seems like. So you have to become vulnerable. You have to run the risk of getting your little feelings hurt. Maybe hearing something you didn't want to hear. Maybe telling somebody something you really didn't want to tell them. This is kind of like my therapy session, I guess. God's the best therapist, amen? A lot of them slap mess you up. But here in Colossians chapter 3, that's 4, we're going to start reading in verse 18. It says, wives, be subject to your husbands. Subordinate and adapt yourselves to them. This is a big one. So you got a lot of this today of women saying, my husband is my equal. No, he's not. According to Scripture, he is not, cannot be, will never be your equal. Well, we want equal rights, do you now? Do you know why the majority of men open the door for a lady when they're going in the store? They're recognizing you as the weaker vessel. They've been taught to recognize you as that. You know what you get a lot of women today? You go hold it. What do you think you're doing? I can open my own door. But then tomorrow, when we're in a different mood, won't you be a man opening the door around here for somebody? I know why y'all laughing. I'm a woman, I can tell you. You can't have it both ways. And see, guys, if you want feminine acting women, you be a manly, masculine man. And that's not a dominator. That's a man that is a gentleman. And he is temperate. He's self-control. He's not flying off the handle all the time. He's not telling everybody else everything that they need to do and not doing himself. Because see, if I've got a, somebody coming at me like that, guess what the first thing I do? We're going to fight. See, I got to get this out of me. But Scotty's got to help me get it out. You know, and you know how that is? What's the Bible say about the man? How he's supposed to be with his wife? Hard. Dominating. Bless God, I'm the king of this castle, and y'all going to do what I say. No. One of the things that Joyce Meyer said about Dave when she married him, she said she didn't even know he played golf when they got until after they got married. And then he come in, his family's coming over one day, and he comes in and says, hey, I'm going to shoot whatever them balls they call them they are, you know, or whatever, what they call that. And she said, no, you're not. You're going to stay here and help me get this house ready. Your family's coming over. He said, no, I'm not. I'm going to shoot golf balls today. And one of the things that she said that helped her the most in their relationship was he never changed. She could not make him mad. She could not dominate him. Y'all have heard the stories, ain't you? She said she would go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and just cry and cry and cry. Why? She can't dominate him. She can't change him. Not that he's doing anything wrong. Do you understand what? See, we like strong men till we marry them. But then we don't want you to be strong. We want you to do what we tell you to do. And that's most of the time, even unconsciously, guys. For an example, say you're outside, you're fixing up something around in the yard or whatever. Your husband's helping you. And he's doing this, you know, and you, that ain't the way you do that. I don't want that like that right there. What's wrong with you? Golly, bum, we could hear a pin drop. But when you was dating, oh, baby, is that the way you want to do them? Okay, that's the way I'll do them. Y'all not saying nothing. See, women, guys don't want you ever to change, ladies. And that's usually one of the first things we do. Unconsciously. A lot of times. I guarantee you, Sandy, you want Robert to be a manly man. Bold, strong, hear from the Lord, decision maker, till it crosses the decision you want him to do. I guarantee you. If you are a woman in this room and you ain't like that, raise your hand. Or have been like that. Look around, guys. I know what I'm talking about. And see, everybody, we're all in this process together, supposed to be. And God is the only one, and he knows the timing, and he knows how to bring the things out of us that needs out and put the things in us that needs to be put in. Why? Not because he's trying to do anything bad to us as women, or place more responsibility. Listen, just like this, the man is the head, but how many knows God is the father, and it's not just the man's job to provide for the woman all the time. I remember Monty had a messed up concept about that because of things that happened in his family. He had to go to work at a young age to help provide and give to his family and all that. But then he learned later on, it's not my responsibility, it's God's. Right? Doesn't he say he'll take care of us, he'll supply all of our needs? Then why we pull on our husbands, ladies? Don't. Pull on God. He's your father. Now, he may supply it through your husband, and most of the time, that's how he does it. But in real faith, don't pull on nobody but God and his promises. Right? It's going a little different than what I thought. Golly, mom, let's get to Colossians here. Let's see, verse 18. Wives, be subject to your husbands, subordinate and adapt yourselves to them as... Let's see, I lost my place here. As is right and fitting and your proper duty in the Lord. See, we're not doing this for the sake of them. We're doing this for the sake of the Lord. They get benefits. Listen, if I am a good, godly, strong, I don't mean strong, I mean strong, woman of integrity, woman of character, becoming of God. How many knows that husband's going to benefit from that? And vice versa, if the man is what he's supposed, the family, the entire family is going to benefit from that. He goes on and says, verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Now notice how he tells you to love them. Be affectionate. And that don't mean when you want relations. Did y'all hear what I said? There's some guys, that's the only time they have anything to do with you. Rest time, they're off, runned off, doing their own thing, and then when they come in the door at nighttime and they get ready, they're ready. Let me help you with this, guys. Most women are not like that. And then y'all can't figure out why you keep getting told no. But then at the same time, there's women, they use that as a reward or a, what would you call the word? Manipulation, maybe. You buy me this or we ain't doing that. Y'all real quiet. How many knows that is a weapon that the enemy is getting you to use? Because you know what? They can pay for it or get it anywhere on the street. You ain't the only one got it. God, y'all getting quiet. But you want to make sure you are the only one that they are getting that from. And that actually, according to Scripture, is part of your wifely duties. And let me tell you something, wives, which, like, listen, there's always a general, but there's always an exception to the rule. There was a lady here one time, she was the aggressor in that area. Where general rule is most women are not the aggressor in that area, but there's some, you know, or whatever. Golly, bum, we're in it now, ain't we? Oh, sometimes I go home and I think about what I said, and I'm like, golly, bum. But how many knows the church has a problem a lot of times talking about things, but the world's talking about them. And the Bible says Satan is the god of this world. So whenever they talk about them, they're never right. So if we don't talk about them, how are we going to get them right? Right? So ladies, don't use relations with your husbands as something to manipulate them into doing what you want them to do. The Bible talks about how they're not supposed to be told no unless you're in prayer and fasting. Some ladies, they'll be fasting every day. Some of them might fast every now and then. Some of y'all be fasting every day that come around. And listen, ladies, guys get tired of being told no. Can you imagine that? Gosh, y'all are so quiet. That it comes that time or whatever, you know, and you get there and everything. And I don't know what to say. Try, start, whatever you want to call it, you know. And then, I got a headache. Well, good Lord, lady, you've had a headache for 364 days this year. So they get rejected. Another time. I've had a hard day today. I'm not in the mood. They get rejected. Listen, this happens over and over and over and over. And nobody likes to be told no all the time. But listen, if you're a maniac, you need to seek some kind of help. At the same time, there's... Stop laughing, Jay. I mean, really, there are people there... I forget what the name you call them, but they're maniacs with that stuff. You know, addicts or whatever you want to call it. But who knows, there should be balance to our lives. There's not nothing wrong with that. But we don't use that as a weapon against one another. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Because the devil's in that. Because like I said, they can get that anywhere. Whew. Let's see here. Husbands, love your wives. Be affectionate and sympathetic with them. And do not be harsh or bitter or resentful toward them. Did y'all get that? See, guys, we're supposed to mirror y'all. And one of the things that Joyce Meyer said about her husband was that helped her the most, because she's chaos. She's all over the place, you know, because of what's been done to her, and then that pride gets involved and all that stuff. He never changed. Leslie, Brother Brad's wife, you know, they come here. She told me after they got married, which they dated for, I don't know, 5 years or something? Long time, anyway. And then they got married and all that, and she was down here one day, and she was telling me, she said, you know, one of the things that I noticed about Brad that I really like about him, she said, you can't move him. He's even keel all the time. Listen to me, guys. Your ladies need that. They have to have that. Because if you are the head and you are in chaos all the time, Everything under you is going to be what you are to a certain degree. Your wife, your kids. Now, your wife and kids may be in chaos, but if you'll become the head that is stable, that is even keeled, that cannot be moved, that is temperate, right, and loving them like you should and protecting them, they will, sooner or later, they will come under that. You just keep showing it, okay? Travis, I didn't even hear amen out of you back there. You slipped in here. Best saying amen for you. Oh, my goodness. And then it goes on. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And then it says, fathers, do not provoke or irritate or fret your children. Do not be hard on them or harass them, lest they become discouraged and sullen and morose and feel inferior and frustrated. Do not break their spirit. Oh, that does not mean you don't discipline your children. What that means is, how many knows you can't take somebody and tell them what they do wrong day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're just constantly on them without saying anything about anything that they do good, good grades they made, or good job on taking out the garbage, whatever the case may be. Nobody can stand to hear everything they do wrong all the time. So when you do that, you break their spirit and you cause them, what's the use? If I do good, nobody ever acknowledges it. It's not good. It's not good for any of us. Gosh, I just got a few minutes left here. Now, I looked up some of those words because I didn't know what they meant. The word subordinate, where it says, verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands, subordinate, and adapt yourselves to them. The word subordinate in the Webster's Dictionary means being of lower class or rank. We're not going to have time to read it, but you can go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, and he starts talking about this. And it talks about wives are secondary to their husbands. This was one I had a hard time with. Because to me, secondary meant lower, lesser, like greater. Y'all know what I'm saying? Even though he is greater, and you are the lesser, but I took that as a bad thing. But that's not a bad thing. All it is its order. Just like this, when you compete in sports or whatever, you got one that wins the big prize, and then you've got what? First runner-up, second runner-up. They all get an award or what? It's about play, so there is no chaos. Because everybody has to come under their head, just like the husband has to come under Christ. Why? Christ is his head, right? So it doesn't mean that you're less than, but you have got to see yourself as secondary to them. Husbands don't adapt to their wives, according to Scripture. Wives, listen, guys, you young guys, you better be paying attention. If you ever plan on getting married one day, before he ever got married, I told him, I said, we will pick your wife. Thank God I didn't. I would have picked the wrong one. I would have picked one kind of like me, and that would not have been good. Y'all remember the story about Esau and Jacob? Who was their mom and dad? I can't think. Was it Rebecca and, Isaac, the promised son. Guess what he got? He got twins, Esau and Jacob. Guess who Esau married? Ungodly, non-Israelite women. And the Bible says that his wives, he had more than one, his wives vexed Isaac and Rebekah daily. So guys, listen to me, and girls, you don't want that. You want a good... I have one of the best daughter-in-laws a woman could ever have to me. And she did tell me no one time because Travis made her. Other than that, she never tells me no. And that's not why she's a best daughter-in-law. She has been to me everything that a daughter-in-law that I've needed her to be. So you don't want to go marrying women outside of what you need to be marrying and make your parents just totally grit. Why, they ain't going to keep your kids every Tuesday. I'm serious. So y'all better hear what I'm telling you. And you don't want to live with some of these women that we've talked about the way they're not supposed to be. Why? That is going to be, after Christ, that's going to be the greatest decision you can ever make is who you marry. Why? That is a lifetime covenant that you ain't supposed to get out of. And you don't want to marry that man or woman, and it's 6 weeks down the road, I made a mistake and I'm getting out of here. Gosh, I just got a couple minutes. Let's see here. I looked up the word, excuse me, adapt, because it says wives are to adapt themselves to their husband, because I thought I knew what that meant, but I'm looking it up. It says to fit or suit. I thought, good grief. I've got to change. It says to change oneself as to adjust to new conditions. What's that mean? That means I have to change and adjust myself to fit my husband. If my husband comes and he says, you know, I really would rather you wouldn't wear that out in public or whatever. He don't got to tell you why. He's a man. He knows why. And don't go tell her, you ain't going to wear that. Because when you do that, all of this is Christ in the church. Is that how Christ talks to you? You going to go to church. You going to read your Bible. Is that how he talks to you? No. So husbands should not be talking to their wives that way. Because the whole example is Christ in the church, right? Over there in Ephesians 5:22. Yeah. So if he comes and tells you, I'd rather you wouldn't wear that out in public, don't have dogged determination like what the Lord got on. Well, I don't know why I can't wear this. What's wrong with it? Just don't wear it. Adapt yourself to him. If he don't like that, maybe there's nothing wrong with it. He just don't like that on you. So adapt yourself to him. You understand what I'm talking about? There's other things. You know, certain men like certain things. Other men don't like certain things and stuff like that. I have to adapt myself to my man. April has to adapt to her man. Samantha has to adapt to her man. Why? Because we all have, just like this, for an example, Travis and Beth's marriage does not look like mine and Scotty's. Travis does the majority of the cooking at their house. Now, I don't know if it's just he likes to cook that much or he don't like best cooking. I don't know, and it's none of my business. That's their business. So what she have to do? She has to adapt herself to him. If he enjoys doing most of the cooking, then you let him do most of the cooking and sit on the couch and watch your TV or whatever you do. But now you take my husband, he usually only cooks on Sunday morning. Every now and then he has a spurt he wants to or whatever, you know. And he likes to eat just as well as I do. So at my house, I do most of the cooking. Do y'all understand what I'm telling you? You adapt yourselves to your husband. You change yourself. But what a lot of people have done today, they, because their daughters are princesses and their sons are princes, becoming kings or whatever, they've told their daughters, you get you a good education and a good job where you have no need of no man or whatever. And then if you ever do get married, you're not wanting to be a wife, you're wanting to just have a husband to pay your bills. And the fathers and the mothers have taught the little girls, you are the princess. So you should be treated like a princess. Your husband should do every little thing, adapt himself to you, and give you everything that you want. And that is not right. And how many knows when they grow up with that kind of mentality and they get married, you got problems in the flesh. I've got to stop because actually my time has already passed. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything y'all would like? Go ahead, Jackie.